This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, the only racing show in San Diego County. And with my very special co-host, Brittany Sandoval. How are you doing there, Crip?
It's great to be back to see you and Brendan and the listeners.
This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue, where he can take care of all your carburation and fuel injection needs. Go to sdcarb.com. And if you have a Porsche, BMW, or a Mini Cooper, and you just don't want to go to the dealer, but you'd like good quality service, well, Black Forest has got 40-plus years under their belt. They'll take care of you like family. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. And if you want to go racing, they do that too. Blackforestautomotive.com. All right, well, I interviewed Matt Hagan, and I got to tell you, man, he won the 2020 championship. That's all I need to say. And we're donating this whole Racer Radio show to his brother, Kyle, who passed away 3 years ago. Very, very, very sad. And he was very, very close to Matt. And I told Matt that I would dedicate the show to his brother. So sit back, take a listen. You're going to love this interview.
Well, folks, you're not going to believe it. Matt Hagan is on the line. He is the 2020 NHRA Camping World Funny Car Champion, the championships. Matt, you have got to be on cloud nine.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, I mean, these things don't come around very often, and then some of them do, and they slip through your fingers, and, you know, it's just it's a blessing to finally get it done, you know?
I know. So kind of tell us about the last three races, or the last two races coming up to this the three runs with Lee and Pendragon. Were you getting more nervous as you were getting closer to that?
Well, you know, I mean, they basically said that, you know, coming out of that Houston race, we put two rounds on Beckman and two rounds on TJ. And, you know, they said, oh, no big deal. You just got to go to the final to win it, you know. And that's a big tall order to fill in funny cars sometimes, you know. I mean, it's hard to get out of first round a lot of days. And, you know, but you know that DSR funny cars have been going to the finals. And, you know, between the four of us, one of the four has to, you know, so it's just kind of been really, really competitive all season. DSR, my teammates, they've just been incredible as far as bringing the competition and the driving skills and the tuning skills and the parts and pieces. And so I knew it wasn't going to be just an easy task of just show up and, you know, have a great, great race and then call it good. It's like, you're going to have to go to the finals to get this done. And, you know, it come down to the semifinals and TJ was in the lane in front of us and, you know, watching Caps beat him, you know, it was tough because I couldn't celebrate with my team. You know, I was strapped in the car and we still had to race Alexis, you know, which we got around that round and then we won the race, which really to me solidifies everything that we were trying to do. But at the end of the day, I've seen championships be won and lost by 1 point, you know? So, I was just glad that our team did what it took throughout the whole season to get this done. I mean, Dickie Venerables has just done a phenomenal job putting a great race car underneath me, and this Dodge SRT Hellcat Funny Car has just been running like a Hellcat does, man. I mean, just running strong. And you know, I think the thing that we can take out of this season is that it was such a challenging season. Not knowing if we were going to race, not knowing if our sponsors were going to be there, not knowing if they're going to activate, not knowing when the season was going to be over. Take it week by week and see what happens. There were so many races that we were planning on going to, and then they got canceled. And then, you know, they were just trying to move stuff around and just get enough races in. And, you know, so it was a very challenging season, but it also had an old school feel to it where you show up and you race. And at the end of the season, whoever accumulated the most points, you know, you're the champion, you know, whereas in the last 10 years, it's always been a countdown style format. You know, you take the last six races, you reset the points, you divvy up points to X amount of drivers, the top 10, and then you kind of start all over. So To me, it was cool that it had that old school feel to it.
I totally agree. I've never liked the rundowns and all that. Just run what you brung, and whoever gets to the end with the most wins, wins. You know, that's just, and I never did understand why NHRA did that format, but that's up to them. And it was great to see that Tim Kaniskas, head of Dodge, and that guy is a frickin' gearhead, dude. He wants everything to go as fast as he can make it go. And he was, I mean, he's as much of a hot rodder as he is, he's got to be in seventh heaven. So did they give you a new Did they give you a new demon?
You know, I'm hoping to get a new Hellcat anyway out of it. The last 2 years, whoever finished the highest in points through DSR got a Hellcat to use for the year. So I'm hoping I get to have a little fun with a Hellcat. They basically, last year I think Beckman had it, and the year before that Tommy Johnson had it. So hopefully it's my turn this year to have some fun with a Hellcat this year. Mopar has blessed me with a new Ram 2500 truck that I'm going to turn in at the end of November here. But so we're figuring out some new wheels and some new rides, but at the end of the day, I'm blessed to be able to drive anything, man. I'm excited that we have such a company that is all about horsepower and racing and performance and stuff like that. So all the toys they have are fun, you know.
Well, make sure you get a brand new one. You don't want one that's been ran by those two guys. That thing will be wore out.
That's right. Yeah, no, we don't want that juju over here, man. But, I think it's just exciting. I'm just happy that we had a season. We followed all the rules. We did all the waivers and the temperature testing and the face mask and the social distancing, and just a challenging year to be out here and involving fans and, you know, be in the spotlight and just trying to, you know, wrap your head around it all mentally and, you know, still, you know, make sure my businesses at home are supporting the people there. And I got 27 people working for me in payroll and, you know, trying to race and still trying to keep those things going and keep those people going. And, you know, just a really challenging year. So I'm really, really proud of my team and myself and what we've done to accomplish, in such a challenging time.
Well, and you know, and that's just hats off to you. I mean, you don't have to have all those other jobs, but that's not how you roll. You know, you support a lot of your people, and I think that's admirable in itself. So, is the boss giving you some time off, or are you starting on 2021 already?
You already start on 2021 with all the behind the scenes stuff and sponsorship and pitch decks and people and B2B business and stuff like that. And, that's just, there's not much time off, you know, and, you know, just trying to make sure our team stays together too, because, you know, in this pandemic, their salaries got cut and their budgets and their, I guess round win money got cut and stuff like that too. And so it's been challenging for our team to stay together. And I'd say that to Don Schumacher, where I'm proud of him that he, he didn't lay all his people off. And I mean, you look at Forrest, he just kept his crew chiefs and said, "Hey, I hate it for your crew guys, but see you later. Have a nice life. Thanks for everything you've done for me," you know? And, so I was proud of Don for not chopping his people and, you know, not just telling them, you know, good luck, you know what I mean? So a lot of respect there. One thing about my family, my dad, he has 42 companies and has over 970 employees right now. And it's just something that's, what I've learned from him is that your people are everything, you know, and your people, you know, even in trying times will work hard for you and get you through things where as long as you take care of them and respect them and work hard for them, you know, and that's really kind of, like this year I gave my bonus money to my team guys, you know, and because they did get cut and they did this and they still stuck it out. And, you know, it was one of those things. I pulled them together five races ago, and I said, "Hey, you know, if you guys get us there and we win this, the bonus money I win, I want you guys to have it. You guys earn it and deserve it." And I think that gave them a little something to fight for and to work hard for and some different things like that. And also, I did it for myself as much as I did it for them. You know, I needed my core group of guys to stay there and to keep working on a race car. And You know, instead of going and driving an over road truck or a dump truck somewhere, or whatever it may be that they could probably make more money doing than they could, you know, wrenching on a race car. So I just really proud my team stuck it out, and we worked hard and we accomplished our goals and we finished it all as we started together.
Oh, man. Heck, I thought I was good. I got 6.5 hours of radio on Sunday and 4 TV during the week. Your dad blew me out of the water, man.
Well, he makes me look like a chump for sure, but you know, but he also has taught me a lot along the way, and a lot of it has to just do with people, you know, and that's taking care of your people and they'll take care of you, man, you know, and that's what I try to do when I can, and that's what he does for sure. And you know, so I'm just excited to, like you said, start back already for 2021 and put this 2020 behind us and start you know, moving forward and doing big things and keeping our sponsors and growing new ones and doing more B2B business and finding ways for everybody to make more money and everything, you know, in this race car to go faster and faster.
Absolutely. Remember what I told you last time I interviewed you? I said there's about an 85 to 90% chance that people that interview with me prior to a championship, they win. You owe me, brother.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to give something back to you. What's your brother's name who passed away 3 years ago?
Yeah, his name's Kyle.
Kyle. Okay, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to dedicate Racer Radio this Sunday to him.
Oh, thank you, brother. That's huge, you know, and that's something I didn't really put out there a whole lot because you can't, you know, when he passed 3 years ago, it's not like you can just snap your fingers and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to win a championship and this is for you. So, you know, for me, it was something that I dug deep for and wanted and, you know, try to make sure I wasn't making mistakes up there. And you know, but it was to honor him, you know, and it's just one of those things where that brought a lot of closure for me, you know, being able to do that and, you know, kind of celebrate his life and, you know, respect him in that way. So I really appreciate that, brother.
No, he's with you every day. You know it. I know it. And that was one of the main reasons I wanted to do this interview. So I could, because for some reason I didn't have his first name, and I wanted to make sure I had it. I will dedicate that, and then once the show's over,
thank you so much, man.
I'll send that to Pat back and get it to you.
That's huge, yeah. Thank
now, you
so
know
much.
What's gonna
it means a lot.
Next year, you know what's going to have to happen next year. Every time you get close, you're going to have to call me, so you could win that race.
That's right. That's right. Let's set them up, man. Let's set up the interviews for sure. Like I love having good juju and good luck and all that kind of stuff, man.
All right, man. Hey, enjoy what little time you have off. Keep smiling. And I promise never to say you're too heavy to drive a top fuel funny car ever again.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. Right. And very blessed. Blessed to have Dodge SRT backing us.
Oh,
blessed
yeah.
to have you guys, you know, supporting what we do and your listeners and fans. And just thanks for the time today. And
right.
like I said, just taking it all in, brother. So thanks again.
All right, buddy. Take care, and I'll see you at Pomona.
All right, see you, buddy.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Family owned and operated. Did you know that 80% of the cars they bring in used are from customers? That just shows you the quality of El Cajon Ford. And they're a major sponsor of Barona Circle Track. In fact, the owner, Paul Dyke, races out at Barona Speedway. And he has been for quite some time, along with his kids. So he really supports Barona, and we support him. Right now, we got Dirt Dude on the line.
Dirt Dude!
What's up, brother?
Not much. How's it going?
I'm just sitting here with a couple of drag racers, a couple of ladies that like to drag race Volkswagens.
A lot of fast women in here today, Dave.
Yeah, I got a lot of fast women. I need your help, brother. Get down here.
It's much better than my day, that's for sure.
Steelers are on the board now.
Say what?
Yeah.
The Steelers are
Steelers
on the board.
Right.
Oh, please,
and
give up those. In. Just give up that football. Come on, man.
Well, you got to see, today was supposed to be an easy day, but uh-huh. I think Dallas is going to be our one for the season, hopefully, that we can regroup on.
They're rising to the occasion.
All right, let's change the subject, put a smile on your face. What do you think of Sheldon Creed?
Yeah!
Dude, I thought that was awesome. I mean, like, for a kid that got no respect the whole racing season,
they
dissed that kid the whole time.
I know. In fact, what's his name? Hacksaw? I can't think of his name, but Hacksaw Hamilton. He was on KUSI Friday, and he was gloating all about Jimmy Johnson, which is fine. I got nothing against Jimmy Johnson. But Jimmy Johnson doesn't reach out to us, and I've reached out to him a million times, so I'm not as happy with him as most. He was gloating, and then he moved on to basketball or something like that. Never mention Sheldon Creed winning the Gander RV Championship in the Truck Series. I could not believe it. Did you see that last lap?
I saw it because I hadn't watched the race yet. I wanted to sit down and watch it, but all my friends had Instagram Live, and then they were just like, I can't miss watching this kid.
Man.
You know who?
Take it to the field.
You know who did mention him? Austin Cindric. He's the kid that won the Infinity Series yesterday, and he mentioned Sheldon Creed.
Because he realized that Sheldon Creed went in when it was three to go and got tires. Nobody else did. And everybody thought, oh, that's not going to be good. Well, they stuck. And he was able. In fact, the announcer even gave Sheldon a little bit of credit because he says, you know, he's a big off-roader and he races on the dirt. So he just pulled a dirt move on him.
That's funny.
Exactly what he did.
That's pretty much what it looked like. It was a land rush start for off-road racing.
Yes, exactly. And Sheldon drives all the way to the inside of the track. I think he'd scrape the wall on the inside. I think it was five wide, if I'm not mistaken, going into the last turn. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was an amazing one. I mean, we didn't have much going on this whole weekend or last weekend. We haven't been doing much, but I know a lot of our drivers have been going out, so thought I'd give some mentions out. We had drivers out at Cocopah last weekend and this weekend. I didn't call in last weekend because you had announced a show that was going long, and I thought I'd give that guy a little bit more to talk about.
Yep, appreciate
it. Last weekend, Shane Sexton got a win. Oh. He went out on the Cal Cup Series in a sprint car, a lightning sprint, and got a main event win out of a two-night race. Ninth on the first night and then won the second night. He went out to go. He has a 360 sprint he's running now. And he went out to go Arizona. They got severe weather, high winds, so they canceled that race. He was at a Cocopah last night.
Oh, they did cancel the Cocopah race. I wondered about the high winds.
No, not Cocopah. They ran the Cocopah race.
Oh.
Actually, it was Kenny Wallace is out there, and Kenny Schrader came all the way out there to Cocopah to run. And, like, all of our drivers were hanging out with him. I've met Kenny a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
And both Kennys, you know, he came and Schrader did a race at our track, a practice race, and then I met Wallace out there at Cocopah. Nice guys.
Yeah. I mean, really, just the kind of drivers that you want to hang with.
Well, what I really love about those guys is they know where they came from.
Oh, yeah.
They went to whole NASCAR. They went, that's the whole end of the spectrum. Like, that's top league. But they go back, and they go back to their grassroots.
Yeah.
Support dirt track. Bring these guys up through dirt track race. And, you know, fun to dirt tracks.
Just like Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart's another one that likes to come back to the small tracks.
Kyle Larson.
So I'm hoping when Jimmy retires, he's going to, you know, pick up a dirt track somewhere here out in this area, and we can have another dirt track.
Yeah, well, I think he signed for a one time in an open wheel car, so we'll see how that goes.
Indy or Formula One? Indy, right?
Indy cars? Yeah. I can't imagine him in Formula One. That's too political. That's way too political. He'll have more fun in an Indy car, and I'm sure it's probably Penske or somebody.
Right.
I'm sure his whole next year is going to be limited. You know, some Indy car, some NASCAR stuff. He's not going to totally retire.
No,
he's not.
He's in the glory of his life. Now he can pick and choose whatever he wants to race. If he wants to race Le Mans, he can, not Le Mans, but the 24-hour Sebring, the 12. I mean, he can do anything and everything he wants. I mean, he's got the creds. Who wouldn't give him a car just for the publicity, if nothing else?
Yeah, publicity would help.
And after you've raced NASCAR for a couple of years, you have the financial backing.
Well, yeah. All he's got to do is bring whoever, you know, Ally is his sponsor right now. They'll follow him anywhere. Maybe even Lowe's would come back for a one-time shot.
And I'll ask Brittany right now, what about, did you hear anything about the Western States? You guys have a Western State this weekend?
It was up at Mojave. They had like a King of the Oval. It was hard. Yeah, I was trying to watch it on Facebook, and it's dark. But I don't know. I saw Robert Peters. He was doing great in the B main. There was a C main. There were over 50 pros and I think 18 sportsmen. Robert Peters was out there in the front and then spun out.
Dirt'll do that to you.
Dirt'll do that. I saw that Darren Brown was out and he won the B main. He had to start in the C main too, electrical issues. And won the B main, was flying in the A main, leading. I saw him spin out, and I don't know what happened after that. Isabella was up there, actually, pretty high. I think he was running third for a while. I just didn't get to see the end of the race. Julie Brown's, I think her phone died.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of that. Robert Peters is saying something like, broke a drive shaft,
yeah,
or broke
Friday.
A short shaft, one of the shafts, and was done for the night.
Yeah.
Have another one.
Yeah, so he had to run up in the C main and the B main. He was doing really well, and... Yeah,
hey,
a lot of bad luck this week on the trip. Mojave had several flips last night and rolls, like five at least.
That's not good.
That was just for the dwarf cars.
In the dwarf cars?
Just for the dwarf cars. Yeah, another teammate, Brad Ernst, we have matching injuries. He had ice on his foot and it was elevated, and he had to drive home to Colorado with a trailer and a big motorhome and his foot elevated.
Yep. Well, now you know his pain.
He knows my pain.
Well, you know each other's pain. So what, by the way, I've got two young ladies sitting here.
Fast ladies.
Very fast ladies that we're going to try to hook up with Eric Evans and get these two girls out and get them in a couple of the Hornets.
Oh, yeah. They love it. I mean, it's a little different turning left rather than just hammering and going straight.
Well, Michelle raced a Z06 Corvette in a road course, so I think...
And she's grinning really big.
And as long as she doesn't turn right, I think we'll be okay.
Well, eventually you turn right, go left.
Yes.
That's when it gets really fun.
Well, turn left to go right or right?
No, turn right to go left. Didn't you ever watch the movie Cars?
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. I watch it all the time. You turn right to go left.
That's right. You got to turn right to go right.
Right?
Correct.
So anyway, what we'll do is maybe what I was thinking of, because nothing, who knows, you could end up with two new race drivers. But what I was thinking of is maybe when you guys open up for a practice, get Eric to bring a couple cars out and then have them come out on a practice night or a practice day and just let him get out on the track and have some fun.
Well, that's a great class to start with, because the Hornet, I mean, it's going to be like your opening division.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot less money than some of the other divisions you have out there. And this is a good way to get your feet wet, so to speak. And like I said, it teaches you to turn right to go left. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I put another friend of mine out there, and all I could do is hear her screaming all the way around the track.
In a good way?
That would be me.
It was a good way. She was screaming at the top of her lungs. She just, but Eric was driving, so that might have had something to do with it.
Oh, they were close to the wall then.
Oh, yeah. He does love going close to that wall, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a hard one.
He knows how to give you a ride. That's the money's worth.
That's exactly right. Well, so like I said, so let me know the next time you guys are going to, you know, go out and, you know, doing an open practice, or if you're going to do some work at the track, and I got to reach out to Eric. No, I'll have my assistant reach out to Eric.
Yes, well, sir. I'm waiting to see. I'm sure the Salazar family is taking their well-deserved break off for a while. So,
yeah.
To see what our next schedule is going to be when we're going to come back out again.
Right. Well, it was so successful, you know, the last race of the season. I think it was so successful, at least Todd's got a good attitude about next year. Now, we don't know what's going to happen COVID-wise, but yes, dear.
You can finish.
That's okay. I see you put your hand in here. Oh,
I was just going to say I've been in contact with Brandon Painter to get him in. I think he's going to be the new race director. Is that his official title?
He is. They're splitting race director and flagging duty between Brandon Painter and... Oh, I'm drawing a blank. Robert. Robert Chavez.
All right. You're over past your time. Cost you another dollar.
My fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault. All right, buddy. Have a good time. Go back and start working on your toolbox again.
I've got two bikes torn apart I'm working on.
Nice.
Oh, great. Make sure you don't get the parts mixed up.
Yeah. All right.
All right, thanks, buddy.
My birthday, boy.
That's Dirt Dude. It's his birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, he's 18. How cool is that? All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have got Mr. Swanson calling in. Used to be on the West Coast. Now,
Indiana.
He's in Indiana where the real racers go on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Trust me, I'm having way more fun than you guys are, let me tell you. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Man, it is one fast half-mile clay track right there at 18700 Lake Paris Road. Check their website out at parisautospeedway.com. And we got one of the kings
fast
of Paris
guy.
Auto Speedway that decided to bail on California, the infamous Jake Swanson.
Woo!
How you doing, Jake?
Hey, pretty good. How are you guys?
So how do you like it? Well, I don't hear an accent, so you must be doing okay back there.
Haven't been there that long.
No, not long enough.
So Brittany was out in Vegas for the
Todd Dameron's Memorial. I ran into Jessica.
Yeah, so she was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she said she's loving it.
Great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in race mecca, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this has been fantastic.
Should have done it a long time ago, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was just kind of crazy how it all worked out. I'm glad that we were able to take the initiative and make the change for sure.
So has everybody gotten used to you yet? Because, you know, you're rather quick.
Yeah, who's this new kid?
Yeah, they especially when we changed our number there at the end of the year, we went from 34 AZ to 21 AZ. They were like, man, who are all these Arizona guys coming out here and running with us?
That's good.
No, we're getting close. You know, I feel like I've had a lot of people say that we're doing really good for the undertaking that we've taken on and stuff like that. But my race team and I are kind of on the same page. We feel like we're a lot better than our results. And, we're kind of disappointed, to be honest, with the 19 races that we had out here. And felt like we were better in a lot of ways and, probably should have had some better results, but one thing or another didn't lead to the finish that we needed. So, either way, we're here to learn and we're here to get better. And we plan on definitely doing some damage and kicking some ass out here, especially next year.
But isn't that racing? I mean, when you think you got the best of the best of the best and you could not lose if your life depended on it, and then that little gremlin comes up and does something silly and humbles you.
Yeah, it sure does. And I feel like with the sport of sprint car racing, I feel like you're humbled a lot more than you than not. So definitely a lot more than you want to be anyway.
So for folks maybe that they've been living under a rock and they don't know you, tell them what you drive.
Okay, so we run 410 non-wing sprint cars out here. It's just an aluminum block, naturally alcohol injected engine, and there's no gears, no transmission or anything like that. It's either in gear or out of gear. And the power to weight ratio is pretty close to that of a drag car. From what I understand, I've never driven one of those, but they rip the front ends off the ground pretty easily. So
he races a rocket.
Yeah, you're pretty much straddling a rocket. It's, in my opinion, it's the purest form of motorsport, but I know I'm biased, you know.
No, I agree. I had a chance to drive Randy Waitman's car out at non-wing at Barona Speedway, and I think I've told you this story before. I'll do it on three conditions. And he goes, what's that? One, nobody comes out with me. Two, if I break it, I don't have to buy it. And I can't remember what the third one was. And I'll tell you what, I came back. He says, man, you did really well for first time. I says, yeah, let me go out again and I'll open my eyes. I mean, good God, dude. I mean, and the thing of it is, I'm by myself out there. I'm not out there with 20 other cars, you know, trying to dance around a dirt oval. So now out there, you guys just don't race Saturday night.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, yeah, so USAC runs a lot. We pretty much follow the USAC schedule. Mm-hmm. And they're about once a week, you know.
Oh, really?
Sometimes it's Friday, Saturdays, but yeah, for the most part it's once a week or so, probably three times, four times a month. But there's so many local shows that you can hit.
Well, I was, that's I mean, what it is.
I was just going to say, if you wanted to, if you wanted to race just about every night of the week, you could.
Oh yeah, you can run. You can run three nights a week, you know, or more. So it's pretty fantastic. You know, we went from literally not racing at all.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm certainly living the dream out here. I you know, it's kind of crazy how it all went down. And I had a great job. You know, it had nothing to do with racing. Had a great life there in California, and we just dropped it like a hot potato and moved out here. And I've got a 1,600 square foot pole barn that we house everything in, and I've got right now we've got three sprint cars and one Silver Crown car in here, and we're just working away right now. We got a car that we've run all season long, and Craig and Justin, my crew guys here, are putting the body on it, and I'm fiddling around with my shock section. I got CSI four way adjustable shock that I'm playing with and getting ready to run here. We're actually heading west tomorrow. We're heading out, and we're going to go run the Western Worlds in Arizona Friday and Saturday. Actually, Thursday is practice. Friday and Saturday we're racing, and then we're going to run some midget stuff there later on in the month. So looking forward to that too.
Are you going to be making a showing at the Chili Bowl?
Yeah, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty lucky this year. You know, I've had some good rides. I've driven for some really great teams out there with Mitch Johnson and Jimmy May JFM. But this year, actually, I'm driving for Alex Bowman. He's I don't know if you guys know him.
Oh yeah,
but he's actually a good friend of mine. We raced growing up for years. You know,
really?
Valley Raceway. We ran quarter midgets together and he kicked my ass a lot. I ran second to him quite a bit. Him and Michael Lewis, they were like, I felt like I ran third to them every week, you know. But he says the opposite. He's like, oh, no, you guys were always beating up on us. But,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, he made it, obviously, to NASCAR, and now he's giving back. He's giving back to the
That's
dirt
great.
Roots
That's excellent.
Side of things and kind of what made him. And not only is he giving back to the sport, but he's giving back to an old buddy. So I, you know, can't thank him enough for that. And I'm definitely looking forward to working with him and Mickey Meyer. And then I got, you know, my teammates, CJ Leary, who was a national champion, last year. And then, you know, he's been running for him for a few years now. So,
yeah.
Definitely looking forward to that.
So you're making a living, with race cars now, right?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. Well, so I would say that I'm barely getting by. I certainly haven't been able to pay the mortgage. Luckily, when I moved out here, I had a lot of money saved up.
Sure.
I worked for a man named Larry Henry for, God, it's been 16 years. I worked for him out there since I was in middle school. I worked for him, and I've luckily been good about not spending money. I just save. You know, I knew eventually one day I was going to buy a house. I just didn't know where. I figured it'd probably be California, but good luck doing that.
Right.
So, you know, when this opportunity came about, it was like, man, I could get something for $300,000 if I put enough down. The payments are low, and we'll just, you know, we'll get something out here. And as long as it's got a big enough shop to hold everything, I can hit I'm running with racing, and that's all I wanted to do. I could care less about what was inside the house and how much work the house needed. I just needed to get back here and start running. So
I'm just so happy for you. I can hear it in your voice,
yeah,
and I can see it written all over Jessica. Last week, she's so happy. She's actually trying to talk some of my Barona boys into going out there. I'm like, no, because I know I'm going to miss her next season.
Yeah.
But I can hear it in your voice, and I know Jessica's so happy. You guys made the right move. It might have been scary, but it was the right move.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely a little bit nerve-wracking, but we knew it. You know, we just knew it was the right thing to do, and we got a lot of family and stuff that we left behind that we miss dearly out there. Another thing I miss is Terrace Auto Speedway, for sure.
Oh.
One of the best racetracks in the country, but and it's unfortunate, actually, we can't go there and run ovals this year.
Hopefully
everything will be a little bit better next year. I guess we'll see.
It will be.
Hey, now, you know what? You know me. Before we go off air, who are some of your sponsors? Because I know I want you to send this show to your sponsors so they'll know you're giving them some love back.
Well, I've got you know, quite a few people that help us out, but we're actually looking for a primary sponsor. So if anybody wants some some you know, some coverage. We've got some prime real estate on the sides of all the race cars.
Right. And he'll be going to Chili Bowl.
Yeah, we've got you know, Lucas Oil's helped me for a long time, and you know, Canon filters, and we've got you know, just a lot of good people that, that are kind of low profile, you know, that that don't say too much. We've had Stratus Construction on the side of the car for a long time. They've been our primary sponsor, you know, but that's my one of my co-car owner's business that he works for, but right. It's looking like we're gonna not be able to have them on the side of the car this year. So hoping to pick something up, even if it's just tires or something for the year. It goes a long way.
Anything helps.
We can make it last. We can make it go a long way. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jake, anytime you find a sponsor and you're trying to get him on, you can tell him, hey, look, I can get you on a radio show out in San Diego that's you can hear it worldwide. I'm more than happy to hook you up that way.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, hey, get back to work and get those shock absorbers going up and down, not side to side.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Jake Swanson, folks. You'll see him on TV in no time.
Yeah.
All right, this is FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. They can work on your street car. They can work on your drag car. They can work on your dirt car. They can do it all. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. All right, we got three young ladies in the house, two drag race. The other one goes in circles. That's Brittany. How you doing, Britt?
I'm very well.
All right. Well,
very nice to be in the presence of fast people.
Yes. Amber Zent. Aren't you the president of your Volkswagen club?
Yeah. San Diego Locals.
San Diego Locals. And we have Michelle Copeland, who's trying to beat you.
Wait, she did beat her. 2019 champion is Michelle.
That's right.
2018 champion is Amber.
Right.
Who's going to win next week? Next week, get there early, it sounds like.
Yes,
Verona Speedway.
Early. Yes.
And it's not like the circle track. You have to get up
early.
Well, actually, the racers get there early. Mm-hmm. When does the actual racing start?
The driver's meeting usually is around 9 a.m., so it'll
early.
Be after that. Yeah,
our meetings are like at 1, maybe, or But what similar to Verona dirt track is you can, spectators, if you're listening, you can bring a cooler, right, of food and beverages and wear a mask still.
Yeah, they're doing all the social distancing.
Yeah. And there's bleachers. And it's fun. Steve and I have cruised up there probably 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bleachers are right there on the track.
Right,
right there for all the action.
You can see the bar.
Yeah, you're close.
You're really close.
Yeah.
I was there for the nitrous once.
Oh, yeah.
My face was flapping when they go off.
Well, and the thing about it is it's a great track. It's 8th mile. And if you don't like 8th mile, you won't like Verona as a quarter mile because it's a really long drop over the edge down across a bunch of boulders. I'm just throwing that out there. People ask, how come? How come? I go, ooh, that's one of the reasons. And do you like quarter mile or 8th mile?
I do like the quarter mile. I feel like my
car likes a quarter mile?
She really gets up on the top end there.
Yeah. Michelle, what about you? Have you done one or both?
I've done both. I like the quarter mile too.
You do too.
It's just more time in the car racing.
Right. Oh, okay. With all the time in staging,
you
want a little
more
bang
time on the track. Exactly.
Right. So let's talk just a little bit about what you guys do. You don't have to have a $40,000 car.
No.
You said $8,000 could get your starter car.
$8,000 was my starter car.
You don't need a roll cage.
Nope.
Wait, slow down.
No, you don't need a roll cage because of the class, right, Amber?
Certain classes, correct.
But so, I mean, the beginning class, you don't really need a roll cage.
Nope. So in our class, you basically have to make sure you've got a second set of springs on your carburetor.
Uh-huh.
You've got your battery bolted down.
Right.
Got all your lug nuts on.
Right.
Wear a helmet.
5-point restraint?
Nope. Just got to have a seat belt.
Lap belt. Just a lap belt.
Just a piece of rope around your waist.
Head neck restraint?
Nope.
Helmet.
Gloves?
Nope.
Nope.
This is entry level price-wise.
Well, they're going straight. It's like
I know, but they get the wobbles sometimes. I've seen wobbles before.
Their cars don't wobble.
But I guess I mean we're all going straight at 70, 80 nowadays on the freeway, right? Yeah. 90.
I'd much rather be at a drag strip, let me tell you.
Yeah, so it's only one other person.
Yeah, you can't trust all those other
ones. Right. Okay, so I can see that.
So, and the only reason I bring it up, if somebody watches it on TV or maybe they've gone to Barona and they go, gosh, I really wish I could try that. But, you can do that.
Absolutely. You can go out and try it. You can take your daily driver out there. You know,
that's true.
You can take your Prius. You can take your...
Why would anyone do... Oh, wait, that's right. Because you can say how fast or how long it's going to take, right?
Let me tell you what. I took a Prius out there, and I'll have to tell the story at another time. 73 miles an hour in an eighth mile.
On an eighth mile?
73 miles an hour from a dead stop.
Downhill. It was downhill.
No. It was because I was trying to test it because remember when we had the problem with the Lexus and Santee and the highway patrolman and his family were killed?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, there was another guy saying his Prius was doing the same thing.
Oh.
So I called Toyota and Toyota told me I could go get a Prius and take it to the drag strip.
Oh.
And KUSI thought it would be smart. He says, well, you have to wear a helmet and a driving suit. And a Prius? Are you kidding me? So I did the full acceleration, hammered it down, and then hit the brake at the end to see if the brake would overload the gas pedal, which it will not. That thing stopped on a dime and gave you 9 cents change.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah. So, yes?
I want to ask Amber something. I would love, because you mentioned she's a president of her club, but did you know she's a mentor and that two of her mentees will be racing, I believe, for the first time next week?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, this is something we spectators need to know. Mm-hmm.
So we are looking for more ladies to race. The only rule to race in our class is you have to have a driver's license and an air-cooled Volkswagen and be a girl. So we've got a couple girls that are still in high school that started showing up in their Volkswagens. They like to tell everybody they're the only, you know, only one, and one other kid in my school knows how to drive a stick shift.
Stick shift. I love it.
So they, a couple of them came out and a couple weeks ago on a Friday night and brought their helmets, and we walked out and checked the tree and see how the lights come on and talked about staging. We talked about, you know, proper etiquette and when you leave the staging lane or the end of the strip, you know, which one turns out first and how all that works. And strapped them in their cars, and they went out and ran passes all night long and had a blast.
Were they hooked immediately?
They were hooked immediately, yeah. And they did great. They did really great. And it's Natalie and Carly.
So what do we look for as a spectator? What color car? Are they VW Bugs?
They're VW Bugs. So everybody who will be racing next week will be Volkswagens. There'll be a couple muscle cars might come out. But we're going to put these girls out there, and they'll line up the Powder Puff class, and you'll hear them announce, like, you know, this is Natalie Sims or this is Carly Danson, and they'll get out there and they'll race with us, and they'll have just as good a chance as anybody else in our class racing. It's bracket racing. And so it's their first weekend. I've got a neighbor who said, you know, she's finally ready to learn how to drive a stick shift, and her daughter wants to come out and race when she gets her license. And so I love these girls and their enthusiasm. We're going to learn all about, you know, reading your tickets and dialing in your time.
And setting your car up, tire pressure and things
that
like that.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's just like it's just racing, right? I mean, but you got to get into it. I mean, you don't have to learn how to build the motors. You hire people to do that, but you got to know how to set the car up. Michelle, do you do any work on your car?
No, I watch.
Oh,
I just watch.
I like the way you roll.
No, I'm not interested in setup at all. Although, you know, earlier when you were talking about your times and, you know, and I was thinking, is that where you second guess? Because all the setups that I know about, that's
look
when
at
I have
both
a,
of their heads bobbing
you
at
have
the same
that
time.
Opportunity to then second guess yourself, tire pressure. And
Picking the time is very, very stressful.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to communicate with the person that is working on your car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to be able to tell them what it's doing, what it's not doing, or what is it that you're looking for. And I got to ask both of you, do you ever, when you do what you would consider a perfect run, do you feel it in your stomach?
Absolutely.
Oh, instantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Instantly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such a stress reliever. So you get to the end of the track, the first pass, your knees knock a little, and all that adrenaline's coming out, and it's great. And you get that perfect pass, and I'll go sit back in a lawn chair, and I just melt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just turned to goo. It's perfect.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, when you're watching NHRA, and they put a microphone in the guy's face as soon as he finishes a race, and the guy can barely breathe.
Yeah.
But that's what, and that's adrenaline.
When we raced together at the 50th anniversary of the Buggin series, we had the last race against each other for first and second place for the day. And when we got off at the end and we stopped our cars up there so we could like hug each other before we got to the pits with the madness over there. And I don't even know what words I was supposed to be saying, but it was inaudible. And we were just like squealing and carrying on in hugs because we just, you know, we love racing each other. Yeah. We do it all the time.
That is so cool.
Yes, I have a GoPro in my car, and I think only my mother knows some of the stuff she's heard. Oh, yeah. And that GoPro after a good run.
Well, thank God I haven't been taped red lighting that first season.
Oh, you can see
my, beep, beep, beep.
You can see my head bobbing with the words.
Yeah. And nobody wants to talk to you for the first 20 minutes.
Oh, everybody stay away.
Yeah, no, it's
so it's not just me.
No.
So I know you're in Volkswagens. Do you have a desire to move up into, say, a faster car?
Well, I still have a desire to have a Chevy muscle car of some kind. Or a faster Volkswagen, you know.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, something faster.
Now, what about you, Amber? Because you're really dialed. I mean, you got five Volkswagens, so.
I think do. She likes them.
We built this engine in my Karmann Ghia. We built it really big. So it's a 2054 right now, but I've got a mystery transmission. So until I blow that up, we're kind of trying to baby it a little bit. But we're getting close to ready to upgrading it to a 2276. So I'm restoring a notch, and she's going to be my car show princess.
Oh, okay.
And then the Karmann Ghia is going to stay on the track.
You keep saying she. I say the same thing. I have a gender with my race car, but I don't have a name.
Oh, so
do you have a
my,
name?
My Ghia is Lucille.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. So,
and it's a pretty,
white, right?
It's white.
It's a pretty car, really.
Pearl white. It's a Harley color, actually. Yeah, it is. It's in pink color. It is.
All right. What's the name of your car?
The Goat.
The Goat.
Greatest.
No, actually, it was because somebody put a severed goat head in the trunk of the car because they were upset with the owner before I owned it.
Oh, my.
And then, of course, it started to stink. So,
yeah.
That's the story.
And now it's known as the Goat.
I bet you won't even eat a goat.
I don't think I would.
Do you eat goat, Dave?
No, I watched it on the Food Channel.
It's not too common of a practice in the States.
You would.
I would not.
Yeah,
I would try
it. But they say the neck of a goat.
What? Where's he going?
Is absolutely unbelievable.
It's probably, I think it's kind of greasy. So you know, you get that sort of like greasy meat.
Like duck?
Yeah, like duck.
Yeah. Gross. I was going to say that didn't they watch Godfather and it's supposed to be a horse's head?
No.
That's true. That's true.
Shouldn't you just stay in the box and be quiet?
He can talk anytime.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So the races we have next week in the Powder Puff class, San Diego stepped up. We've got a bunch of sponsors for that. So we have V Parts in El Cajon.
Cool people.
And they made a call down to V Parts in National City who matched their donation prize money.
Thank you.
So V Parts is a big sponsor. Eddie Chakas, he runs a mobile sewing machine repair. He's going to sponsor us. Red Racing's putting up $100. The San Diego Locals, Michelle's a club member. We're putting up some money from the clubs. Valley Automotive is putting up $100. We've also got some money from Susie and Mike Herbert. She's the race director of our class. So we've got a little cash.
All
we're always looking for more.
Well,
that's just for our class. Oh. Yeah.
Great Racer Radio will donate $500.
I'll take it.
So I'll send you a check.
What's the purse now?
I'm going to need some more. I'm going to need
stickers. I'm busting on my boy to get them, so I'm going to send you a check for $500.
That's awesome.
And you can divvy it out any way you want to do it.
Perfect. We're going to have first, second, and third prize money than we're going to do this year. Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, we got to hit the road, folks. This is Racer Radio with FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.